Hey, greetings, friends. My name is Andy Steele Smith. Today, I want to share a little on one of my favorite scriptures and two of my favorite topics, and they are justice and mercy. I believe that justice and mercy are the very heartbeat of our God. As I write this piece, I'm sitting in my hotel room in New York City at the end of a long and fruitful three-week business trip traveling all across the United States. I'm so thankful for the privilege that I have to use the gifts, opportunities and open doors that God has given me both in business and in the ministry with the gangs. And one of those great privileges is the freedom to travel and to use the influence that God has unexpectedly given me in both the business and social justice ministry spheres. I want to encourage you, friends, this morning to use your voice, to use your influence, to use whatever platform God has given you, whether large or seemingly small, to bring glory to God and to bring people to the foot of the cross. Friends, the Bible is literally filled with passages that talk about justice and mercy. But my favorite is Micah 6:8. Reading from the NIV, it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." And in the Message it says, "But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women." It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. So let's unpack this a little. Over the past few years, both during the pandemic and since, we've seen so powerfully how acting justly has been walked out by so many people all over the world in standing up for justice for the unjustly opposed. During COVID, we saw neighbors looking out for their neighbors. I know of so many people that made and dropped meals on the doorsteps for friends whose households were just simply afflicted by COVID. And then more recently, we've seen the support that most of the world has given to Ukraine over the obviously unjust Russian invasion. The support for Israel after the completely unjust terrorist actions of Hamas. And conversely, the attention that has been globally prompted of the Palestinian cause and the apartheid-like system that oppresses so much of that seemingly forgotten population. And then George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement. And I could go on. Over the past few years, perhaps more than at any other time since the end of apartheid in South Africa, we've seen citizens across the world of all colors, faiths, creeds, orientations, nations, and political persuasions rise up together and act. When the people rise up and act justly together in one accord, it's a beautiful thing. But the key word here is act. Acting requires discernment and wisdom, of course, but the fact is the scriptures speak of acting and not just talking, thinking, or praying. In my experience, when we act quickly with clean hearts and pure motives, God faithfully brings about good outcomes from our actions. And in the context of some of the beauty that we've seen during chaotic times over the past few years, we've seen the majority standing up for the minority, the white for the black, the privileged for the underprivileged, the oppressor for the oppressed. The second key in this scripture, though, is to love mercy, particularly within the gang environments in which we operate. This is totally countercultural and yet so important. When I dwell on mercy, I realize that the gospel message is at the heart of what mercy looks like for us, and thus this is what we should seek to model. Christ died as an exchange for our sins. He died the death that we deserved. So to show mercy to me means that we need to be prepared to see past the judgment that we might naturally want to proclaim on someone else. We definitely need to lean into the Holy Spirit and seek his discernment. However, our attitude of mercy or grace dictates to a large extent how much we will be open to the Spirit's leading and prompting. How this walks itself out within our ministry with the gangs in the Cape Flats is we start by seeing these boys first as victims, or the products of an unjust system first, and perpetrators of crimes second. By God's grace, when we've seen these lads through the lenses of mercy and grace, the Spirit has been able to move and do great things that neither we or these lads could themselves do. And the final command of Micah 6:8 is to walk humbly with God. The great writer C.S. Lewis said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." Thus, if you always treat others as better than you or think of others and their needs more than you do yourself or your own needs, well, you're halfway there. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before God and he will lift you up." And that to me gives a powerful analogy of humility as being positional or relative, particularly in a missional context in Africa with so much harm having been created by an imperialist or colonialist approach. Really, humility is the positional opposite of colonialism. So friends, living in these uncertain and unjust times that are so obviously lacking in mercy, let's do as it says in the Message version of Micah 6:8. Let us do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously, but take God seriously. Let's be countercultural Christians. Let's love the seemingly unlovable. And let's serve those most uncomfortable for us to serve. And let's use our positions of influence, our platforms, and simply the people that God places in front of you and me both today and tomorrow and the day after to impact others and bring glory to God. Amen.